Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So here's the question. You and I, both baby boomers, as we sat here for just a few moments watching some antenna TV and laughing, Jack Benny.
Watching Jack Benny.
Oh, and, so funny.
And now Father Knows
Best is on. So great. But you know what?
Can we just sit here and watch TV?
Yeah, I know. But Jack Benny, was he like just flat out hysterical? I mean, literally to where your stomach hurts, you're laughing so hard. But I don't ever remember my mother wearing a dress to clean the house. I don't remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or pearls.
Never, never. But those were such great shows and great times. Hey, listen, we're going to have a great hour today. We got a very special guest from Pittsburgh Agway coming up within 20 minutes. They do so many things, and Doug's going to get to all of that and more. We're going to give away that $25 gift certificate right now to Sorgles. If you are the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, 10th caller right now wins it. This is a great time to get out to all of these sponsors. I was out at Janoski's at length the other day. Pumpkinland begins this weekend. Man, it's just nice to be out there this time of year.
Yeah, and I was out at Han Nursery, was it yesterday or the day before? Yeah, you know, yesterday, and lots of bargains, you know, trying to get rid of the stuff that's been around. The reason we buy them from good nurseries is we know they've been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've been around for a while, we know they've been watered, and that's good. I got some perennials I'm going to use for filming tomorrow, and this is a perfect time for planting perennials, plants that'll come back year after year. And I got some indestructible stuff that I'm looking forward to planting that I know will be around basically forever.
So what's indestructible stuff?
This one is called Epimedium. And first time I ever saw it actually was at Jessica's place. Oh, by the way, Jessica, it's her birthday weekend.
Happy birthday.
29 again.
She looks 29. We're the ones that look 49. I wish. Anyway, happy birthday.
You look
birthday.
49?
No, that's why I said I wish.
Maybe from 1849.
It's over, folks. I get it. It's over. Anyway, happy birthday to her. Go ahead.
And I saw the Epimedium growing when she lived on the farm underneath some trees. And I was like, that stuff, you know, makes it there? She's like, yeah. And I planted some a couple of years ago. And, you know, until yesterday, we had a real dry spell. I hope you got a little bit of the rain out there. Not everybody did. I posted a little video on Facebook yesterday when the rain was coming down because gardeners were so excited when we do get a little rain after a dry spell like that. I needed it. I needed it bad. But that Epimedium has been sitting there all by, you know, without any water at all.
And growing.
And doing fine. And so I'm going to put some in tomorrow. But this is perennial planting time. Add something to your garden, add something different. I did get a really nice double white hellebore. Hellebores are this variety will bloom right when the crocus bloom. And so to have something blooming early in the season like that is just absolutely wonderful. And I am going to Portugal coming up here in April, end of April to May. We've already got 20-some people going. You got about another month to get the discount, and it's going to be a 13-day trip exploring Portugal. I've been traveling all around the world with gardeners. We have a lot of fun. This one is garden, pretty garden-centric, but lots of other things to see. Two flights out to the Azores, which are these beautiful islands, kind of like the Hawaii of Europe. I have all the information up at my Facebook page and also at DougOster.com, at EverybodyGardens.com. And if you don't have internet access, you can just give me a call. I'll tell you all about the trip. My number is 412-965-3278. There's a lot of cool garden stuff we're going to see, and we're going to have fun. We get a guide that picks us up at the airport and takes us all around. And
why Portugal?
I've always wanted to see Portugal. You know, a couple years out, I look at different places. I talk to my travel guy from Colette. I use this big company called Colette. They're one of the oldest travel companies in the country. And we decide where would people want to go and where would I want to go. And, you know, I have a feeling Portugal is going to be a lot like Italy when it comes to the food. And food's very important to me, Rob.
I understand that. I get that. Hey, congratulations to Kathy, the winner of that $25 gift certificate to Sorgles. How hard is it to grow pumpkins?
Pumpkins, you know, they need space to rumble.
Really?
Ramble. Rumble and ramble.
Right.
And lots of soil improvement. You know, they usually started from seed early in the season, you know, end of May. And they got to have room to do their thing. They do have some pests that can be a problem, squash bugs, and the squash vine borer is a pain, cucumber beetles sometimes. But, you know, you can work some organic controls with them. The other thing is they get sometimes get powdery mildew, and so that's basically aesthetic, but it does slow the plant down a little bit. But if you put them in good soil, compost, manure, and let them ramble, you'll get pumpkins. One thing I saw, got some messages from people, they were getting the pumpkins early this year, so they were turning orange before, you know, like last month, and they said, what are we going to do? I said, well, there's not much you can do. You know, pick it when it's ripe, you know, keep it cool, but just like any fruit, it's going to, you know, eventually rot, you know. It's
right.
Not going to make it till, you know, Halloween. We still have another month to make it to Halloween, so just enjoy it. Maybe make a pie out of it. That's what I do.
Do you really? You ever make a pie out of a pumpkin, like a, you know, the real deal type of pumpkin?
My wife has.
You know, they're not all orange either. Some pumpkins are white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I found that to be pretty
You know, when we were doing our, Jess and I were doing our cooking gigs together, she made one of the best pumpkin pies out of something called a Hubbard squash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big blue, kind of warty looking
pumpkin.
Squash, technically.
Squash, okay,
but,
yeah, okay.
You know, same family. And it was to die for. But you wouldn't imagine something would taste so good that looks so bad, you know, from the outside. It was that's an ugly-looking squash, but it makes one of the best pumpkin pies.
Talk to me about Roma tomatoes real quick.
Well, you know, there's lots of different types of sauce tomatoes and different Romas. The thing that's become really popular now is a bigger Roma tomato, so you don't have to process as many. You know, traditionally, if you've used Romas and you love Romas, stick with them. But there's, you know, Burpee came out with Big Mama. There's just a bunch of different really big paste tomatoes. They're real meaty, very few seeds, and they make great sauce. I was so lucky this year to have a great – I'm still picking tomatoes. You know, I had a great tomato season. Not everybody did with all that rain. The thing that's worked the best for me and over the last several seasons is just succession planting the tomatoes. Not everything in the third week of May. You know, I'll put some in third week of May, some June, all the way into that last. My last planting of early grows was in July, early July, and those are filled with green tomatoes, and they don't have much disease problems. Where the ones planted in May, you know, the tomatoes are almost done and the foliage is almost all gone because of fungal issues, because of all that rain we had. And that succession planting has worked really well for me. And like I said, still lots of tomatoes still coming. That's exciting. We've got another warm week coming up.
Yeah, real warm.
And then we get, I guess, a cool down in the weekend, and that'll probably get everything to turn. You know, just be once you get that couple of those cold nights, tomatoes will be just like, uh-oh. Time to turn red.
All right, listen, we're going to take a very short break, kind of like me when I'm outside and it's cold, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, 866-391-1020. Give us a call, whatever's on your mind in the way of gardening. Doug is here. Jess is off. It's her birthday weekend. We're also going to talk to some folks from Pittsburgh Agway, and I know you're happy about that, right?
Oh, yeah. I've known Chad from Agway for a long, long time. We've talked a lot about all the organic stuff that they carry, and they have a bunch of stores around the area, and we have a lot to talk about.
All right, we'll get to all of that still to come today on KDKA Radio. All right, this is a great time for you to call in because we've got all of our lines open except one, 866-391-1020. Let's go to Raymond in Greenfield. Raymond, how you doing? Welcome to KDKA Radio. Good morning.
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I have two questions. One is I planted two big bags of gladiola bulbs in the spring, and it did not produce one decent bloom.
Mm.
The stalks would come out, the bloom stalks would come out, and then they'd either wither and die that way or open up enough that they shouldn't have bothered.
You got full sun?
Yes.
Yeah. How's the soil?
I've planted other things in the soil, and I had it in different areas of the garden. So it wasn't any one particular area.
That I wonder if it's something with the bulbs then. You know, that's unusual. Glads are pretty tough, and, you know, you put them in and off they go. That's a disappointment for you. I'd be thinking, are you going to leave them in? Nowadays, most people just leave their glads in, and they winter over.
I usually do, but not this time. I got rid of them.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd give it a try with some, you know, new varieties, new bulbs next year, and I would be sure that they were planted in really good compost. What was the second question?
The second question is, I've got several burning bushes, and there are large areas that either are dead or dying because they just didn't even produce any leaf. The bigger burning bushes, it sort of has a healthy crown, but then the bottom part is all dead.
Well, burning bush is basically a weed, so anything that dies on it, just remove that dead wood, and it should sprout back for you. Again, you know, you can't kill a burning bush, and so that's all I would do. Remove the dead wood, it'll resprout, and next spring I think it'll be just fine.
I see. All right. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. 866-391-1020. We have some calls coming in. We'd love to hear from you as well. What about taking care of mums? It's that time of year.
Oh, you know, I was walking by a store the other day, and I saw mums out in these racks, and they were almost all done. You know what I mean? They were almost all bloomed out, and I was like, oh, I hope nobody is going to be standing there trying to look at those mums and buy them, because I'm going to have to intercede. You know, first off, when you're buying mums, and I always say this, look for something that's, if I can get them, I want them without any color on the bud, because they're going to last so much longer. You're going to get two flushes of blooms that way.
What's the shelf life? What, normally a month?
Yeah, a month maybe.
Okay.
You know, but if you can, like, get them real early, get them when they're tightly budded, you know, maybe just blushing with color, they're going to last so much longer for you. If you buy them and they're all bloomed out already, and we had weather like we had last week, they're going to be gone. They're just going to bloom out, and they're not going to be able to continue. And so I bought some, I think it's almost 3 weeks ago, and they're just now blooming, which is great, which is
perfect timing.
Perfect timing. You know, you might also think not just buying once, you know, buy a couple. They're really cheap. So buy a couple that are budded up now, and then in a week or two, buy a couple others that are budded up, and you'll extend your bloom time. You know, forget about trying to winter them over. It's almost impossible. Most of them aren't technically hardy, and they've put so much of their energy into flowering that it's hard, even if they were hardy, it's hard for them to get their roots going. Just think of them as a just traditional fall plant. The other thing to think about is all the nurseries now have all sorts of other cool stuff to plant. You know, there's a type of kale that I love, and I see it in the nurseries. It's called red boar, and it was originally introduced as a food crop, but it grows tall like a tree. It's like a deep purple kale, which can be like a thriller in a container. It's going to grow like 3-4 foot tall, and then just put some pansies around the outside as a kind of a filler spiller. That will go at least until Christmas. You'll get a lot out of that. And sometimes that red boar and the pansies on a mild winter will go all winter long and come back for you in the spring. The cool thing about the red boar is if you get it to overwinter, it's what we call biennial. And so it was going to try and put on seeds the next year. And so you'll get the purple foliage, and it'll flower with these little itty-bitty yellow flowers in the spring if you can get it to winter over. Also, lots of other plants out there. You know, as I said, the different flowering kales will go well into winter. I love having color out there a lot longer than a mum. You know, you got to have mums because it's a tradition. But then I see celosias out there and hot peppers, you know, ornamental peppers now as a fall plant that will go until we get a hard freeze.
All right. Let's say hi now to Elaine in Butler for Doug Oster on the Organic Gardeners. Hi, Elaine. How are you?
Hi, Elaine. What's going on?
Hello, good morning. Doug, I have azalea scale, I think.
Oh, is it scale or is it me? What's the other bug I'm thinking of? It'll come to me. But tell me about the scale.
Okay, I noticed about 6 weeks ago that the branches on my 50-year-old azaleas was black, and the leaves were turning black.
Okay.
So when I looked, the tiny white insects that are just sitting there on the stems, and it's very, very badly infected.
Is this an azalea that's out in the sun? Or is it?
Yes.
Okay. It might not be scale, and I cannot remember. I'm looking it up right now. What the other disease or the other insect is that I'm thinking of when they're out in the sun? It's kind of like all white on the plant itself. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, and they're an elliptical shape, but they're very small.
All right, give me one second. We're going to take a look here and see if I can. You know, when you get old, sometimes your mind will not bring up these names, Rob.
What was that, Tim?
No, I'm Doug.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Lace bug, that's it. I think it's, so the upper surface of the leaves have kind of a gray, kind of coarse, stippled appearance. Does that sound right?
No, it's
okay,
lace
so it might
bug.
Be, so it is the scale then. If it's the scale, it's not going to be easy, but we can work on that scale basically by covering that with horticultural oil, which is a safe way to deal with an insect. So wherever that scale is, you mix up some horticultural oil into a sprayer, and you just cover that scale with the horticultural oil. And you're going to have to continue to apply this, you know, underneath the plant, on top of the plant, right now, and then again, as soon as we get to the early parts of spring, and you'll get it under control. The thing is, your scale is just tough, that's all. But just keep at it.
All right, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. You're going to meet someone from Agway coming up in just a couple of moments. Pittsburgh Agway, Doug's very special guest, right after we check the news moments away with Shelby Gassesi, KDKA Radio. Hey, let's give away that Janoski's gift certificate to the 10th caller at 412-922-1020 as Pumpkinland is officially open this weekend and every weekend through the end of October. But right now, time for Doug and a very special guest.
Yeah, I've known Chad Welpley for a long time from Agway. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell me, how long have you and your family been running the Agways? But I know you got stores in Mount Nebo, Butler, Newcastle, Beaver, 84 and Imperial. What was the first one you guys started with?
Our first one was in Beaver. Some people in Beaver County know it as the Beaver County Co-op, which it was for like 60 years or so. But we've been there since 1987.
Wow. And then who's running the show besides you?
My dad is still in sort of in charge of everything. Then my brother Kurt and I. My brother's up at the Butler store. I'm primarily at an Imperial store. I'm managing those stores.
And tell me a little bit, you know, I always want to ask these questions when you're, have these, you know, long-term customers, the feeling when they all come in with questions and you're the guy with the answers. Talk about, how that feels.
I mean, that's one of the things we sort of pride ourselves on. We've done for years, have relationships with customers, whether it's lawn and garden, you know, pet supply, feed, whatever it is. It's just a great feeling when you can sort of solve something that somebody just, you know, they might go to Google and see a picture or they see that, hey, I have this thing, what is it, you know? And we can sort of walk them down through that.
Yeah, we get that too. It's green, it's tall, it has a flower, right?
Yep, yeah.
And I know you carry, go ahead.
And they'll say, like, I've been dealing with this for years. Can you solve it now? You know.
And I know you've got the Espoma products. You know, those go back to the 1930s. You know, Hollytone is probably the most famous. But there's some Espoma mm-hmm. products that people are using right now, right?
Yeah, right now we're seeing a lot of bulb tone. People putting in either with their garlic or fall bulbs. I really like the Espoma products. It's putting all that organic nutrients back into the soil versus just putting like a chemical on type of thing lasts a lot longer.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And, you know, for somebody my age, we grew up with Hollytone, but, you know, bulb tone, tomato tone, garden tone, bloom tone, there's just a ton of them. But then the one that you and I have talked about over the years the most is what Jessica and I both use is the Ohio Earth Foods products, and especially that Revita fertilizer. That stuff, mm-hmm. you put that on anything, it's going to grow.
Yeah, we like those. We'd like to see more people asking for them. It's a brand not a lot of people know about, but it is from Ohio. We try to get as much local stuff as we can. Being a local business, small business, we try. So they're just right over the border there and have some great products.
You know, Chad, back in the day, before we could get it from Agway, Jessica used to drive her pickup truck over there, and everybody that was an organic gardener would give her the order, and so she'd get, you know, 100 pounds of Revita, whatever else we needed. But there's other stuff, too. Like Fox Farms has organic stuff, too, right?
Yeah, we sell a decent bit of Fox Farms. They have their Ocean Forest blend and the Happy Frog, a couple of the brand names that a lot of people recognize. But especially a lot of people doing a lot of indoor type stuff, those products seem to work really well for them.
Is it hard to have a family-run business? Because I would think, as you know, brothers and fathers and everybody, we always disagreeing. Talk a little bit about the fun part of that.
It is funny. It makes a good dynamic, but also you're not in it by yourself. Actually, my brother and I just spent a couple days up in Vandergrift area just getting some pallet racking. You know, just the two of us working. Something we could find an auction to help sort of organize our warehouses better. It was a project that we got into and ended up taking a lot longer than we thought it would, but it was actually sort of fun, you know, versus just doing it by yourself, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about something that Jess and I always discuss for weed control product is corn gluten meal, and you've got it in a couple different ways there at Agway, right?
Yeah, it's something, actually my brother had done some research, probably 10, 12 years ago now, and sort of discovered it in a way. The one we have is an actual meal, they call it. It comes from, it's a feed grade side, we get from our feed mills. A lot of people like to use it for, it's a good nitrogen fertilizer, but it also can help with weed prevention. Especially in the spring, a lot of people like to use it as a crabgrass preventative. But it even works in your flower beds, mulch beds. Put it down when you're planting things. It keeps those seedlings from really germinating and taking over.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I always tell people, try and find it at a place like Agway where you can find it more as a feed additive. It's ground differently. So you told me before we came on, you can get it through a drop spreader, right?
Yeah, it can get sort of clumpy in a way. But it's even throwing it down. But that's a nice thing. It's all natural. Like you can throw it by hand and no worries. You know?
Yeah, that's what I love about it. It's interesting.
And animals can literally eat it.
Right. I know that people use it a lot. Like you said, in the spring, we always tell people you apply it when the forsythia blooms because that tells you that the crabgrass has not sprouted yet. But I use it. Mm-hmm. Any bed where we don't have, you know, I'm not growing seeds or, you know, like a perennial bed or something like that. And even in a bed like a bean bed where I put my bean seeds in, as soon as those bean seeds come up, then I'll put the corn gluten meal on and I won't get any other weeds. That stuff's amazing.
Yeah, we even have people use it in the middle of late summer. Like they like to redo their mulch beds and put some mulch down. If you're tearing that all out, throw a little bit of corn gluten meal down in there when you're mulching. You can even use it later in the year.
Tell me how the business grew from that original Beaver store in 87.
Well, in 89, we got the store up in Newcastle. It was Agway, the company was still around, and they were wanting to sell that store as a representative store, like a franchise type thing. So we got that in 89. And then 10 years later, Butler and 84 stores became available. Agway was pretty much selling off all of the stores that they had, so we were fortunate to get the Butler and 84 locations, which were quite a bit larger than what we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
Especially down 84, there's a racetrack down there, the Meadows, and feed all the horses there at the Meadows. So that greatly increased the scope of our business. And then in 2007, the store where I'm primarily at, Imperial, over by the airport in Finley Township, the family that had that store for about 30 years were looking to get out of the business and contacted my dad, and we were able to acquire that location. And then the one in Mount Nebo up around the Swickley area, my brother found that location. It used to be the Mount Nebo Grange Hall. If anybody knows what a Grange is. And in 2013, we purchased that building and started. That was the first store we actually started from the ground up.
Well, Chad, one of the things I love about going to Agway's is there's always a little area there, because I'm a cheapskate, with stuff on sale. You get a lot of people like me coming in looking at that discount area?
We do. It's a good way to move out some stuff that just hadn't been moving, or maybe even just getting in a different part of the store, someone might even notice it. That's one of the things, since we do have lawn and garden and pet supply and feed and all kinds of stuff, a lot of our customers, regular customers, will come and they go to their part of the store and they don't really explore anything else. So if we move it in the discount area, they might see something they never saw before.
Well, Chad Welpley from Agway, thanks so much for coming on the show. Check out those stores, Mount Nebo, Butler, Newcastle, Beaver, 84 and Imperial. Lots of good stuff there. Lots of good organic stuff, too.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back right back to the phones. Larry, Tony, Tom, Virginia. We'll try to get to all of you before the top of the hour. Next hour, Oktoberfest on the Coons Cooking Hour. Heffron Tillotson and your money and you. 9 to 11 in the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Right now, congratulations in order for Cindy from Irwin, who won that $25 gift certificate from Janoski's. All right, let's see how good you are.
Oh, man, look at all these phone calls. Let's go.
Let's go to Virginia in New Swickley. Go ahead, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about an azalea and a rhododendron that we have. They're close together. They're planted on a bank next to our porch steps, and it's a sloping bank. And it's kind of tricky to get to in there. And we've also been infested with bees and things there. I was wondering, when would a safe time be to trim them back? And what method would you recommend, the pruning shears or electric trimmer?
So the best time to do this is going to be right after they're done blooming, as long as, you know, if you were to cut them now, you're going to be cutting off next year's blooms, and you want to see the blooms. So next May... The minute that they're done blooming, that's when we start the pruning. Now, I would use, bypass pruning shears, and I would do it very carefully. Pruning is part art, part science. So just, you kind of look at what part of the plant you need to get rid of. You go all the way back to, like, the main stem and remove that branch there. With pruning shears, turning them into meatballs is not going to make them happy. They have their own kind of natural shape that is beautiful. And so you don't have to trim them. It's only if they're in the way or if they're in the way of each other. And so enjoy the blooms next spring and then get to them with those pruning shears, okay?
All right, let's go now to Tom in New Kensington. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
How are you today?
We're doing good. What's going on with you?
I got some peony plants here. It's an established bed at 60 or 70 years old. I've just acquired them. And the problem is they got like this black spots on the leaves.
Right. Very common.
And I was reading that said they cut, leave them up till the green is all gone. When they turn black, cut them back.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that foliage.
So I did all that, but is there anything you can feed them now?
No, it's not about feeding. What you want to do next year when they come up, especially if you have another wet season, you want to treat them with an organic fungicide. We like one called Serenade, and you apply it probably every couple weeks when you first start to see it leaf out. First, you'll get the little red stems poking up. Then they'll start to leaf out. Start with a fungicide then, and that should make them healthy. They're not going to need much as far as, especially an older bed like that, as far as feed. They're tough as nails. Once they're established, they'll do their thing. But it's very common that they have fungal problems. So start with that fungicide in the spring, and you'll be good to go. Remember to remove all that infected foliage now, and you either have to bag it or burn it. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Tony Oakmont up next for Doug on the Organic Gardeners, KDK Radio. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. What's on your mind?
I planted some mums a year ago, and this year they returned. I put some mushroom compost on them, but they are extremely large. I mean, they're like almost like 3 foot high. but they're beautiful.
This is a good problem to have, Tony, you've done something most people have not been able to ever do, is make them come back. And once they become established, that's what they're going to do. You know, the reason they're so tall, and you're kind of looking at them and thinking, man, what's going on? In cultivation in the nursery, they cut them back 2 times before we get to the fall. And that's why they're kind of rounded and compact and filled with buds. When they're growing naturally, a lot of times that's what they'll do.
I mean, they're actually beautiful. I just want to make sure that I can get them to come back next year. I mean, they're 10 times larger than what they did last year.
Yeah, once they're established like that, you're going to be the king of the mums for the neighborhood. So don't worry about that, and just let them do their thing. It's awesome.
All right, let's go to Larry in Ross Township. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Hey, Larry.
I'm good. Hey, guys, how you doing today?
It's going good. What's on your mind?
Hey, my question is a couple flats of Pachysandra at a local nursery yesterday, and as I was pulling out the stem, you know, to plant them, and I took your advice, I bought one of those drill augers.
Oh, good.
You know, to put them in. And there's like 100 plants in each flat. So as I was pulling out the stem, you know, to put it in the hole, I mean, all the dirt was, the soil was coming off of it. So, I mean, are they still going to make it? I mean, I tried to get as much soil as I could.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And then, did you get rain last night?
Yes.
Well, that'll help, but you're going to have to keep them watered if we don't get rain, and that will get them established. Pachysandra is tough as nails. Not everybody loves it. I love Pachysandra. You know, all the gardens that I grew up with had Pachysandra. I've got Pachysandra all over my garden.
I needed some for some shaded space alongside my house, and I just wanted to find out before I put in my second flat, are these going to be okay?
Yeah, as long as you keep them watered. And then when you're pulling them out of the flat, try and kind of pinch them from underneath so that whole kind of root ball comes out with it if you can get it. That'll do the trick.
Thank you for the call. 1 minute and counting, Portugal.
Oh, yes. We are going to Portugal at the end of April for 13 days, and we're going to see everything Portugal has to offer. Lisbon and flower shows and botanical gardens and the Azores Islands, which is the Hawaii of Europe. 2 separate flights out there. It's almost all-inclusive. The flight, almost all the meals. All the travel in country. We have a guide that takes us everywhere that knows everything. I have so much fun when we do this. I've got over 20 people coming already. We'll probably take about 30. Give me a call at 412-965-3278. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live. Enjoy your day on the water.
I will.
All right, Doug Oster. Jessica enjoying her birthday weekend. Meantime, Shelby Gassesi coming back with the news at 8, and then Joe and Frank and I talk Oktoberfest on the Coons Cooking Hour, KDKA Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.